An introduction to WiMAX, LTE and 4G mobile services. This is a talk given by Colin Bendel of Motorola to the BCS Edinburgh branch on Wednesday the 30th of January 2008. This recording is copyright BCS 2008.
Well, good evening everybody. So I apologize for my friend Colin here, he's really not feeling himself. Had a couple of brandies before he managed to get here. Okay, so I think my understanding is sort of we'll talk a little bit about WiMAX. Colin and I are part of Motorola, where we involve on the what we call the network side of things, where we all the GSM networks, the 3G network. Motorola has a division or a sector, they call it, where we provide the network side, and there is another sector in Motorola which provide the devices. What we'll try to do is talk about a little bit about what's happening to the standards, or what's happening to the technology, where is it heading. Also talking to Colin, there's some issues about why the current technology is not fulfilling its promises, and why, you know, some of the progress, some of the newer technologies, what they're going to do. So try to give you an idea. So what I put an agenda, what I thought it may be, I'll get out of the way, something maybe of interest to you. We don't have to go through any of those in details, I'll just give you a broad brush. But if you want to ask questions in a bit more detail about some part of it. So why is it broadband? What's the technology? What's the market potential here? Because we're really watching what kind of market it's going to be for this kind of technology. What's the network and device going to look like? Why the operators want to have it? What's the driver for the operators? And progress so far. So what progress have we made? So far, if we look at the current technology, when there have been in the UK, for example, in Europe, a lot of the license auctions that happened back in 2000, a lot of 3G came along, the 3G technologies were supposed to fulfill that promise in terms of offering data and voice. But really, few things conspired that it didn't fulfill its promises. Number one, is really the technology was designed more for voice with some data in it. It wasn't really designed for a broadband technology. Secondly, our expectation change were in terms of everybody, if you look at the DSL penetration 7 or 8 years ago, it was less than 5% in the UK. Now it's approaching, you know, 60-70%. So the expectation from people in terms of what they can do from broadband has changed. Also, because a lot of the technology bubble that burst, a lot of the investment in 3G didn't really take it forward. And of course, the chipset, the devices were not ready. A lot of devices needed to require a lot more processing power. However, in the last 6 or 7 years, everybody got used to broadband, getting used to broadband, especially in Western Europe and North America. And a lot of the economies in Asia, Middle East, Africa really wants broadband desperately. In the sense that the economy is growing very fast, the mobile penetration has reached 100%, but if you look at the broadband penetration, it's less than 5%. And the problem there is in places like Russia, China, India, a lot of the Middle East, Africa, it's too expensive to put copper. The country's too big, copper is not on the ground, copper is becoming very expensive metal now. It's too expensive to make it a DSL line. So a lot of these countries would like to do broadband, and wireless broadband is going to be really one of the key technologies for them. So really, if we look at the driver, why broadband now is important, internet is driving it very hard, everybody wants speed. I mean, in terms of movie, for example, if you see what's happening with the BBC, the iPlayer, it's happening in many countries, people are going to download the movie. This requires a lot of broadband, and the expectation of having the broadband available. A lot of new applications on so the search engines that's coming along, the MySpace, Facebook, Google, all these are driving a huge internet demand. And of course, the broadband subscription is accelerating. Oops, gone up. So at the moment, if you look at what's available in broadband, is really Ethernet, where you get our copper to the ground, you get it to the house or to the company, or Wi-Fi. But there is really a gap in terms of not availability of broadband either in outside city centers or in rural areas or in emerging market, simply broadband is not available. course, the current 3G technology does not fulfill that either. We'll talk a little bit about it later. Also, what's happening globally is the public sector is demanding broadband in a big way, either for economic requirements, like you see a lot of cities trying to wire up to have broadband available, education purpose, all of the schools, and public safety. All that require broadband technologies available, and some of them require to be mobile with it as well. And lastly, they really need to be delivered at low cost. So there's a lot of drivers here. So if you look at the market dynamic, that's what the market want. If you look at the operators at the moment, the likes of Vodafone, Orange, O2, really the operators are facing a lot more competition on the voice. So their revenue from the voice is stable, because although the price is going down, they're bundling in more minute. Everybody using more the phone even more. So the price is stable, but they're losing really revenue or pricing power. It's eroding very quickly. Mobile data is becoming important to them, but the problem is the current technology is expensive to deliver broadband. I'll show you some information later on this. So they can't really deliver on the current technology, the broadband data that everybody wants, but at a cost which everybody can afford. So at the moment, if you really want to use about 1 gigabit of data from Vodafone Mobile, you know, it costs you 30, 40, 50 pounds. I don't know whether you heard the joke of this guy on the iPhone, showing the iPhone to everybody going around Europe, went back home, and the bill was about $3,000. Right, so really it kills the whole idea of having broadband. So the other thing is the fixed line. Fixed line is really increasing the data, increasing the customers. Our expectation of broadband should be. So really the mobile operators are finding it difficult, and they need to move along. So what do we expect to happen? When we're looking at the market, when we travel around, look at what everybody's asking us, what coming around to the conclusion is the market in the next 5-6 years, the expectation is really the market wants an IP-based system that the media or the applications available all the time to them. So the media is available anywhere. The expectation is going to be, I want it on my devices. So really devices like the iPhone, it's changing the expectation. Now everybody wants the availability, for example, of their music, starting with the music. But if you look at what's happening with the next generation one, which is the video download, now Apple has done their they want with the studios now to have alliances similar to the music on the movies, the movie download coming with it. Really at any time, on any of the devices you have, and everybody wants it sort of here and now. So the expectation is in about 4 or 5 years' time, everybody will have, when we started with the mobile, everybody wanted their own mobile phone with them. And everybody before used to have mobile, telephone at home, they go to work, they use telephone at work. Why would you need a mobile? Well, everybody wanted their own personal number. The expectation now in the next 4 or 5 years, everybody want their own personal broadband. And that's what the expectation to be. There's a lot of things to do before we get there. Really, everybody wants it faster, so that's what's driving the technology development at the moment. Very much more responsive, it takes too long at the moment on the current technology. Very much lower cost, nobody can afford to pay for it at the current tariffs. A lot more capacity is needed, very flexible and global, so you can roam wherever you go, you can use it. So that's really what's been the key success factor as we see it. So what do we have to do to get there? So in the standard body, so sorry about this busy slide, but what's happening in the standard bodies is a technology which you see at the top at the moment, which is GSM, GPRS, Edge, UMTS. These are the current technologies in the network being installed. It's going to move to something called LTE, the long-term evolution. I'll go a little bit more detail on this one. But also, this is not the only technology. Now, it used to be the only one driving it forward. There's a technology based on the 802.11, which is a Wi-Fi, which is moving to, they've developed the standard, and now we're calling it WiMAX, mobile WiMAX 802.16e. Essentially, what's happening in the industry is the mobile, everybody wants to go to broadband or mobile broadband. There's a standard coming from the mobile industry, but there's also standard coming from the computer industries. And if you look at, for example, the show in Vegas, what happened about the devices, you see a lot of ultra mobile Notebooks coming along, very small notebooks, where people can use them everywhere. They're becoming more like a small smartphone or a big smartphone. But ultra computers coming into this area, but also smartphones coming in. Everybody's crowding into this area where you want to have your own smartphone, that you have your own location, you can download your own movie, you can download your own music. You basically have your own device, a second device, not your mobile device, but a second device that you can use it for your email, for your music, for your movies. Not now, but I'm talking about the next 3 or 4 years. But that's the market that's getting very crowded at the moment, or a lot of developments focus on. So you see the likes of Intel, for example, which is one of our partners in WiMAX, developing these devices and embedding WiMAX into the computers. So all the computers, starting with the high end from middle of this year onward, will have WiMAX built in, similar to what had Wi-Fi built in. So the idea there is you'll have WiMAX available wherever you go. At the same time, the mobile operators, the likes of Verizon, Vodafone, China Mobiles, are going to upgrade their network to move into the same space. So what's different about these technologies? I'll go to the right-hand side first, because this is even more important. First of all, it's going to be all IP network. So this is very important. The success of the internet on the fixed line is IP. And really, the difference there is the network and the application separate. Somebody developed the network, but a lot of application from different content providers on this. So for example, British Telecom provide the DSL, but really a search is Google or Facebook or Wikipedia is coming along. That's not happening on the mobile industry at the moment. If you look at Vodafone or O2, really very much what they call a walled garden. Most of the applications sitting within the portal of these operators. So the reason we're moving towards a packet core network, IP, first of all, is very much easy to interface to the existing fixed line. So all the applications that work on the internet will be able to work on the mobile technology. And with it, it makes it easier and cheaper to deploy. It's much cheaper to deliver broadband over an IP network than the current switch-based network, what they call switch-based network. Very expensive. That's been one of the problems with the operators not being able to give you low tariff. The current technology is expensive to handle broadband data. But we're also changing the air interface, the modulations and the technologies that we're delivering the broadband. So it's moving to a technology called OFDMA, Orthogonal Frequency Division Multiplexing Access. And basically this, what it does, it takes the signal, divides it into multiple frequencies, and you transmit it down. The reason for that is, if you take a city like Edinburgh, instead of you getting interference from building, it actually, the interference from building enhances the signal. It works very much better on broadband technologies. So you start to be able to go to speeds. And these are peak speeds, so they're going to be average speeds. Average is going to be very much lower into the probably 5-10 megabits range, but you have a peak capability of about 100 megabit capability on the uplink 20 to 50. So let me give you an example. For example, you take a DSL. You say DSL, British Telecom say, oh, I'll come to you and say, I'll sell you DSL 8 megabit. Well, the 8 megabit is peak, not the capacity. It means at any one time, if nobody's using it, it can get to 8 megabit. But what happened with those is they have something called contention ratio. So BT will put 50 users on the same line. But at best, you probably don't get more than 200 kilobits. So this is the same. It depends. This is peak, but it depends how many subscribers there are on that particular base station or sector to get there. But the important thing here is the latency has gone down. At the moment, latency is too high. It's above 100 milliseconds, 200 milliseconds. We're going to bring it down to less than 10 milliseconds. This will enable voice over IP capability, a lot of the gaming, online gaming, which very much depends on latency to start to become applicable. Very flexible spectrum. We're going to do FTT, DTT. I'll show you later on what that means for the UK. The voice capacity very much enhanced. We're going to be bringing more advanced technologies like MIMO and beamforming in order to try to get rid of the interference and increase the capacity of the network. This is a tech sort of a bit just an illustration. The current technology called HSDPA, which is a UMTS network, which has been enhanced slightly to look more like 3G. But basically what's happening on the left-hand side is the current latest technology you get on 3G has been deployed to about 20% of the UK, probably about 50% in Europe. It's still That's the kind of capabilities you see. It enhances great deal when we go to 802.16e. This is a WiMAX example. Start to have very much increased capacity in terms of performance. We're talking about sector throughput. We're talking about the uplink and downlink, and the data efficiencies all start to increase. Now, why this is important is the more data we can pack in within the same spectrum, is the cost of delivering it. So we're trying to make efficiencies with delivering megabits of data in order to be cheaper for the operator. So as a result of that, an operator can put 3 times the number of people on the particular sector, or double or triple the speed he can download data, or you can, subscriber can download data. So I'll give you an example compared with the current technology. Really, with the 140 to 100 megabits. Now, that's not going to happen right from the beginning. Probably at the beginning, for example, on the current WiMAX system, we're going about 45. You can get to speed up to 45 megabit on the downlink. That will be enhanced further with LTE, is going to go to about 100 megabits. So that's why I put 40 to 100. It's really start to way past what DSL. The caveat here, of course, I have to put in is the coverage. Is the coverage available? Is the operator going to put the kind of coverage needed to deliver this kind of speed? But the technology can do it. So the speed-wise, as you can see, a lot better. From a latency perspective, the current technology with 3G and Edge, which is mostly available. For example, if I look at mobile now, 3G mobile, what I get here is really equivalent to Edge. I'm getting the Edge technology here, which is really not suitable. The latency there is very high. So you can see the big difference between what's currently available and what's likely to be available. And that's very important for online application, whether it's gaming or instantaneous access. Lower cost. So we really want to bring the cost down a great deal in order to make it. Now, the reason the cost is important is because we want to, the operators needs to move to flat rate, similar to what happened in DSL. You no longer have to worry about how much I've downloaded this film for, or this application, how much it's going to cost me. The way we're going to move this is going to be a flat rate, so you pay £20 a month, and you download as much as you want, whatever content you want. You don't have to worry about having to pay per content. So this is going to be one of the key development, and of course we're going to add capacity. Each user can expect to have 1 to 8 megabit capacity. So this is very high compared with the current 3G technology. For example, you hardly get more than 100 kilobits at the moment on the current mobiles. Now we're also going to make it fairly flexible. So the core part of it, because it's going to be based on IP-based core, we're going to be able to integrate with the existing really fixed line technology more easily. So, and both WiMAX, Wi-Fi, and LTE will really have similar core. It won't be the same, but it will be similar in terms of really off-the-shelf IP boxes. And just to show you the difference between the architectures, In terms of 3G and GSM, you have to go through what they call hierarchical architecture. Now, this costs money because these things like the, what they call the SGSN and the GCSN and the switching, these cost a lot of money to put broadband data on. They've optimized for voice. They can handle voice very well. But when you put broadband data, it costs a fortune. It's like putting broadband on dial-up. Simply cannot handle it. Or if you go to the flat IP architecture, what's happening with the current fixed line technology is very much cheaper, and these things really doesn't cost very much to increase capacity. So it costs, but a lot less than it costs on the left-hand side. The technology is going to be similar to GSM. We're going to make it global, so you can use it wherever you go. It will take some time because global, because you have to free up all the frequencies. I'll give you an idea in terms of what's happening on the frequency front. But it's going to be flexible, available in multiple frequencies. For example, 700 and 450 for the UK is going to come for auction as we move to the digital TV. These spectrums are going to become auctioned in the UK probably in the next 3 years, 4 years, 700 and 450. They're very useful for technologies like LTE or WiMAX because the coverage is large, the lower frequency you go. 900 is in GSM, the current spectrum, and the rest, I find them a lot in Europe and North America. So the important thing is to make it sure that we can get this kind of capability. It's a bit busy, but really the key thing is this auction, for example, they're starting in the UK around June, July. Ofcom is going to auction the frequency, and it's going to be a couple of spectrums available on the FDD, on the 2.6 to 2690, and the 2500, and they're going to leave in the middle about 50 megahertz. That's going to be available for technologies like WiMAX. So WiMAX most likely will come on the TDD technology in the middle, and then the LTE will come on the FDD part of it. Now, the good thing here, it will enable new operators to come in, because not Vodafones and O2 and the likes are probably going to buy only the FDD spectrum, and they're going to leave the one in the middle for any new operator to come in. So that's in terms of licenses globally. There've been a huge amount of licenses for WiMAX, over 1,000 so far. There've been auctions everywhere. This is on the 3.5, mostly on 3.5, some on 2.5. I'll show you the breakdown. But there've been a lot of them. The most famous one's been in the US, which is Sprint, which is deploying the technology, which they're hoping to launch in April. And one of the key things you see is a lot is happening as well in Asia. It hasn't really started yet in Africa. They're a little bit more now. But in Russia and Asia is happening as well for different purpose, but I'll show you the reason. All of the people coming in now are really wireline. There are some wireless, but a lot of them are wireline ISPs who want to offer broadband technologies using WiMAX. And a lot of media companies coming in. For example, there's a company in France we're dealing with called TDF, who have a channel. They bought a WiMAX frequency, and they're setting up a WiMAX system in France. So a lot of new entrants are coming into this market in order to go offer wirelessly broadband technologies. The expectation is globally we'll get two frequencies, two main ones, and then two smaller ones, the 3.5 and 2.5. That's the expectation where the roaming is going to be. The Intel chipset that will come into the computers will have 2.5, 3.5, 2.3. So wherever you go, there will be a WiMAX network available to you in order to access the internet. And that's what I've said earlier. Basically, about half of it is going to be in 3.5 gigahertz, some part of it 2.5, some in 2.3. The smaller ones in 3.6, 3.3, but these are not likely to take off. Most is going to be on the top three on the left-hand side. Before I go into market potential, any questions, please stop me at any time. Don't wait until the end, because probably forget the question. So stop me at any time. Why are we doing it? So why are we investing a lot of money? Motorola is investing a huge amount of money in this technology. Really because all the indicators at the moment is that the wireless broadband will overtake wireline. The number of people who's going to use broadband in a wireless manner with devices is going to overtake. Similar what's happening on the GSM side. More and more people using now have GSM devices, mobiles, and they have telephones at home. And the reason is, you have one fixed line to the home, but you may have three or four people each have their own mobiles. So the penetration tend to be a lot higher when you have your own personal device. So the expectation here, really globally, that the wireless broadband market will take off starting around, well, it's starting now, and I'll show you some examples, but really the takeoff is around 2010 when the curve starts steepening up, start to take off in a big way. No, there is a reason, and the reason is for broadband to take off, you need certain things to happen. First of all, you look at the PC penetration, the notebooks. People need to have access to notebook to access the broadband. So in Latin America, the amount of, first of all, language, so the internet is English. So how many people how many people can read and write? How many of them have access to PCs? There is a pent-up demand, but the problem is you need the other stuff in place as well for it to take off. Where if you look at For example, you look at North America, Europe, takeoff is really fairly, you know, especially US, because the PC penetration in the US is very high. Europe is coming up very high. Asia Pac expected to become very high. Right. Latin and Middle East, although it's going up fast, still at a lower rate. If you look at the numbers on the left-hand side, you're talking here about 50 million sub, where in North America, for example, 200 million sub. Right. But you're right, Latin America has to do with language and sort of the PC penetration is sort of hammering. Similar with Africa, although there's a high potential, really what's hammering is the tools for broadband takeoff. But it will take off. Similar what's happening on the mobile side, all these countries reaching 100% penetration. I mean, even in Africa at the moment, the mobile penetration is the highest in the world at the moment. But there you don't need a PC, language is not a barrier. Just get the device. In terms of technologies, this is another busy chart, so I apologize for that. But basically showing you that LTE here, if you concentrate on the LTE side, and which is really there, the yellow, and then the WiMAX part, these are the two key curves. The other technology is starting to, for example, GSM, CDMA is starting to come down in terms of expenditure because we're reaching saturation rate. The expectation is the broadband technologies will start to increase in terms of their deployments. So that's one of the reasons we're focusing on this. The forecasts are telling us really there is a demand. There's demand globally, and these are the kind of where the money is going to be spent. Europe expect to be fairly large in this, so it's going to be whether it's LTE or WiMAX, but the expenditure in Europe expect to be at least about 43% from a very big market, 66 billion. So Europe expect to spend about 30 billion. Which technology is going to take, is going to be, we don't really know, we don't really care, so either LTE or WiMAX, but the take-up expect to be high. And the way it's going to happen, we expect between now and 2008, 2009, 2010, if you look at the blue, which is GSM, and the red, which is 3G, it's going to be still the dominant technologies here. There hardly been any broadband. Really, from 2010 onward, 11, we expect this technology start to come through. And if you look at the mobile broadband penetration at the moment, people have how many people have got a 3G PC card in their notebook? Very few at the moment. Very few of the enterprises. Expectation this will become 86%. Most people have it. It's going to be either they'll have an equivalent of an iPhone, or they have an email service, or they have their PCs, but they'll have broadband capabilities within those. WiMAX expected to be as well. So that's, I won't go into detail of this one, but they expect WiMAX to have a large takeoff with it. Now the other thing different what we've done so far. So far, these technologies depending on devices like these on the mobiles, especially on WiMAX, we're going to move to a different model. We're going to move it to a Wi-Fi model. So the chipset will be embedded in all the devices. It's no longer just going to be in mobiles. So we're going to put it on in gamings and digital cameras. You see it at the moment with Wi-Fi. Chipset being embedded, but Wi-Fi has limited range and the quality of service is not there. When we put WiMAX into it, you'll be able to access the internet from whether you have a video camera, a setup box, you have an MP3 player, PDA, you'll have WiMAX chipset embedded into it for you to be able to access the internet. So network and devices, we're already starting on the WiMAX to ship WiMAX technology, so this has been deployed. I'll show you some customers we have. We're already putting some of the key technologies like MIMO and smart antennas in those. So we already developed these technologies, already been developed and being deployed. These are the early stage now this year. We expect about 10 to 20 networks in the first half of this year to launch with the WiMAX technologies. At the beginning of those, before I go to the devices, most of them we're going to be able to put them on poles. So it's easier to deploy and not so hard as the existing base stations. But these are the ones we're starting with. So you know you have the at home, the wireless router, similar to this one. These two are the same. You put it at home, you have it on wherever you want to, you connect your PC to it, or your phone for that matter, and then you can get access to voice and you have broadband with it. And it wirelessly goes back to the base station. Or the PC card, as you got currently available, you'll be able to access. So these being delivered currently, and customers being launched on these devices. But we expect then to move, before I go that, of course, the partnership we've got with Intel, all these chipsets now will go. So the Centrino that's available on this PC, which has Wi-Fi, from middle of this year, will have WiMAX built in. So instead of just Wi-Fi. So this is important because really what we want to do with this, for example, with WiMAX, is you open your PC and you access the internet. You'll have a choice of providers and you can access the internet with it. You don't have to worry like Wi-Fi where you are or where is Wi-Fi available. So really want to make it coverage everywhere for it. We're also going to provide mobile devices. I'll go some of the examples. These are like you download a movie on it, you play a movie on it. It has it's really mainly for multimedia kind of device. So it's similar to iTouch where you get the movies, but this is where you can access it wirelessly. You don't have to go at home and access through DSL. So you have broadcast TV on it, video on demand, full browsing capabilities. So really it's more like a small TV. With WiMAX connection and a Wi-Fi connection. These are really more like an iPod. It's for more or less downloading music using a WiMAX system. So this is, again, we'll have in it GSM, so you can use it as a normal phone for GSM, but also it has in it WiMAX in order for you to download music or videos. And then, of course, we're also going to have standard phone, really just for accessing voice. This is for VoIP service, voice over IP kind of services. So you make the same kind of voice call you make on this phone, but you instead use Skype or any IP kind of technology for delivering VoIP. So this is a quick, in terms of at least an overview. There's a lot in there. I can't go in depth in any of those because it will take another 2 or 3 hours. Just giving you a taste in terms of the network and devices, why the operators want to do. So what they're going to do with it is really, if you take a Vodafone or you take a BT as two examples, somebody like a BT, which is a fixed line operator, with a WiMAX technology or LTE, you'll be able to offer the broadband, but wherever you go, no longer just at home, for example, with the DSL. You can take it and they go into the mobile areas or hotspots. A company like a Vodafone, mobile operators, they can use a WiMAX or LTE in order to offer you broadband then at home. They can come, instead of DSL, they have that option of offering it wirelessly to the office. So these are, and in fact, in emerging market, this becomes even more important because the broadband penetration is not there. So these operators even more desperate need for these kind of technologies. For example, one of the biggest countries we expect WiMAX to take off is going to be India. And China, possibly Russia as well, because simply broadband does not exist, and there is their economies are growing at 7, 8, 9% a year, and nowadays if you don't have broadband, your economy doesn't take off. It's critical for businesses like banks, financial services, generally companies to have a broadband access. So those guys are racing to do it because they can't do it through copper. We also, what this technology enables you to do is to wholesale it. So somebody can build a network, and then they can go to an ISP or a cable company, MVNO or mobile, and say, here, there's a capacity for you. You can have your own device, your own capacity, your own quality of service. It's going to be another important application, which is wholesaling the capacity. I'll give you a study. So, I mean, these are what operators are thinking of doing. They'll be building at the moment the fixed part, as you've seen, and then they'll put to the mobile. So, for example, at the beginning, they'll put WiMAX where broadband access is not available. So in rural areas, for example, what's happening in Germany and France, even in the UK, WiMAX going into rural areas. It's once you build this area. It depends on the kind of speed you want to offer. So it can go In the networks, for example, in Holland, operator wanted to give 4 megabit download. It went to around a kilometer. If you want to go down to about 512, you can go 2 or 3 kilometers. It depends whether you is fixed or mobile. These things determine the kind of speed and the kind of range you have. The capacity and range very much intertwined between the two. On WiMAX, no, we expect actually mostly new entrants to come in, small one. For example, in Germany, the people who bought the license 3.5 were small startups. And what they're doing is they're offering it in areas where there is no DSL to start up with, just concentrating on areas where there is no broadband coverage. And then what they want to do is grow it to make it national. At the moment in Germany, for example, or in France, starting on a regional basis, because what you can do with WiMAX, you can just go after a town and just offer it there. Once you get one town, then you go to the next. You don't have like in GSM, where you have to offer it everywhere. People expect it through the mobile to be offered. WiMAX, you can start and say, okay, I'm going to be fixed nomadic. I don't offer mobiles. I'm just going to offer something like this. No. No, because Wi-Fi is unlicensed spectrum. Anybody can put it under regulation. But the regulator, for example, in Europe, look at Ofcom, you have to buy the WiMAX frequency. And that frequency and spectrum is exclusive to that operator. So you have to bid for it. So no, it's not going to be like that. But what I expect to happen is it's going to be WiMAX Wi-Fi mix. What you can do, for example, is have WiMAX come to the building and cover the building with Wi-Fi. They're very much interconnected. Within the same CPE, you can put WiMAX, one part Wi-Fi, and the other. So you can have Wi-Fi coverage, and you just go back. You don't have to have a DSL link. It just goes back to the base station. So there's going to be a lot of... Yeah, so you have a Wi-Fi layer, and then on top of it, you have a WiMAX, just to make sure the coverage is available everywhere. So you can have a lot of combination. Depends on what you're trying to sell. Any way you want it. It's Ethernet linked to these base stations, so you can link them and wire them any way you want. Very much more flexible. You don't have to have a, like they do on the 3G now or 2G, standard E1 link you have to go and buy from BT. This is standard. You can put microwaves, you can put an Ethernet cable, mesh them, not mesh them, doesn't matter. You can even use, if you have enough spectrum, part of the WiMAX is a backhaul. All right, so to use the same spectrum. The mesh, to have a true mesh, where if one link breaks down, you bypass it, you need the software on top of that. We haven't put a mesh software on top of WiMAX, but if WiMAX start to enter the public safety, which is like, you know, fire stations, police, then we'll do that. It's just a software layer on top of standard software to redirect the traffic. But so far we haven't, but I expect to happen, because at the moment, the police and the fire brigades use a system called Tetra, which is very limited in its data capability. They're going to need to move to broadband fairly quickly. Yes. Yeah, it's very simple to add capacity to it. So, the more base stations you put, the more capacity you get. I mean, if I had some pictures, I should have brought them with me. But it's halfway between. It's a big Wi-Fi. If you look at that thing here, there, that's really how it is. It's really just an antenna this big. Okay, and the radio sits behind it, and then this is the actual module that concentrate all the traffic sits on the pole as well. So you can have the whole thing on poles. You don't have to, it's all outdoor. So it's like a Wi-Fi on steroids a little bit, you know, just a bigger Wi-Fi. And it's trying to make it easy for everybody just to use it. Because if you look at countries, especially Western Europe, it's not easy to go and add more antennas. Nobody likes to have it. So that's, so for example, in Germany, this particular operator, we're going to put WiMAX in rural areas and in key cities. But what they expect to do is, once the mobiles become available and the devices become available, to try to take a market niche area where it can offer mobile part of it and part of it to for DSL. So they take a middle area between the two. That's another operator, for example, we're trying in Bahrain, which is one of the license. They were going to offer it, and with it, they want to start to offer broadband, DSL coverage only, some data capabilities, a lease line. You can go and offer a lease line with it. It's more expensive, but you can do a lease line, and you can do wholesale. So if you buy, this particular operator came in as a second operator in that country, but they can offer some of the fixed line services that they offer, which is broadband, lease line. And you can see that the revenue is fairly high. Lease line is very expensive. You can get $300 to $3,000 a month on these kind of services. But once they do that, then they can move into voice. They start to offer voice telephone services on top of that. So all these devices have an analog connection at the back for telephones to be connected. And then phase three of his deployment, he'll offer, once the mobile is available or devices, the same technology, just need to be a bit denser. You need to put some more base station to get the indoor coverage you need. We'll be able to do that. We'll be able to add some more services. And you can see it has a range of option for earning money on this. So the business model depends from country to country, changes depending on whether you're mobile, fixed, or combination. So I'll just give you an idea, reaching the end now. So how much time do we have? Is it, are we okay for time? Okay. So for example, Sprint is going to be the biggest deployment. They're going to start in April, May. I expect them May before they start in the US this year. And that's really what they want to do. They want to, what they're going to do, they're going to put up what the, you can think of it as an Ethernet network available everywhere. They're not even going to sell their own content. They just want somebody like Google's or eBay just to use the network in a mobile way. Everybody wants to put their own application. They can just use the network. Any device can come in from anywhere. They just carry the traffic. So it's really like you have an Ethernet cable available wherever you are. And you can develop your own applications. You can develop your own social network kind of applications. This will be available. So they're setting up the network as a new business model. Nobody has tried it before. But that's what they're aiming to do. So they're going to offer for the home broadband, interactive application, and any devices anybody care to put on it. They're starting in Washington, Baltimore. That's the first phase. Chicago. They're starting in Washington State, and in Texas. So in fact, they spread it between, we are, for example, Motorola are in Chicago and Indianapolis, which is the circle, just below Chicago there. Samsung is providing in Washington, and Nokia is on the east, on the west coast in terms of their deployment. So they're split between three manufacturers. I haven't seen their detailed maps. They definitely kind of cover all the cities in Texas. Now, between cities, where it's desert, I don't know. They haven't really given us any indication of how much of that. But they certainly, the main cities will be covered. It depends on the license condition, because, for example, Clearwire, which is another WiMAX provider in the U.S., which they're going to launch soon, have the rural spectrum, and Sprint have got the spectrum in the cities. It's not like the UK, everybody got a national there, everybody picks a particular spectrum in a particular area. So they're trying to get together to offer more national service, but they haven't done so far. They tried and failed. Clearwire is the other one. So they're trying to partner with Sprint to offer this service. The other interesting part has been in emerging markets. So one of the other markets that launched WiMAX, for example, is in Pakistan. And you say, why the hell is in there? Well, they have zero broadband. They have insatiable demand for broadband because the economy is growing. So they put it in 22 cities. And really all they want to do there, very low cost replacement of DSL. DSL is not available. They offer a nationwide service footprint, so really mainly enterprise and high-end residential. If you go in there, for example, you want to get DSL, it costs you £200 a month. If you want a leased line, it costs you £3,000 a month. So they can make money very quickly. It's like a gold mine, actually, doing it there. Nationwide coverage, and really simple, all the offerings, internet access, voice, and VPN for companies. It's a very simple service. I won't go into detail, won't have time on that one, but the other thing which is important is the flat fee. So companies have started to offer fee service, starting to drive data take up. If you look at the UK, I'll go a little bit more details. This market's starting to happen because so far it's been a disaster in terms of broadband take up on the mobile. Nobody's using it, it's too expensive. I'll just give you an idea of what's happening, for example, in the UK. And I don't know whether you saw in the newspaper today, the European regulator is going to now ask all companies to lower their data rate, especially on roaming, because it's ridiculous at the moment. If you go from here to Spain, you pay, if you want to use any of those, it costs you three times as much as the published prices, just because you're roaming. So for example, in Vodafone, compared with DSL, so DSL gives you about 2 megabit, and they limit you to 5 gig a month, and you pay what, £15, £10? £10, in fact, some of them now. So Vodafone, for example, offer 3 gigabit per month, £30 a month. All right, so that's the limit. But if you that's only for the UK. If you go roaming, that will triple. So you see why it's really one of the reasons not taking off. It's really very expensive. You can pay 500 megabit and download 500 megabit 24 hours. That's to compete with Wi-Fi. Like you go to the airport and you pay £6, get Wi-Fi, for example. This is £10 to get it for 24 hours, 500 megabit. So you look at the same for three has been the most aggressive. You can get really about 3 gigabit, but only for £15. That is a direct competitor to DSL. If you look at the three advertising, they say, you know, instead of getting a DSL, just get a PC card. And you can use a DSL wherever you go. And similar to T-Mobile. These are the current, and you can see they're starting to move towards flat rate. They're no longer really per megabit, like they started. But that's still expensive. We expect those really to drop by at least another 70% needs to drop before people start to use it, especially the roaming part. Before people start to have confidence that they can use it without costing them a fortune. But in order for them to do that, they need to get into the new technologies because this is too expensive to deliver on the current technologies. It costs them too much. They have to add a lot of sites for them to deliver it, which is very expensive. So that's the end of the presentation. I hope I've given you an idea in terms of what's happening. So I don't know whether I've hit all the questions you had, but hope give you an idea of what's happening. Now it is. It wasn't at the time in the middle of the internet bubble. It looked, the likes of Vodafone, O2, if they hadn't bought it, the share price would have gone down probably, because everybody thought this take-up is going to go on forever. In fact, most of this network, still more than half of it, is laying empty. So yes, it is dumb. Although the treasury got lots of money. The problem is it hampered the development of it because those operators didn't have any money to invest anymore. So it's good and bad. In some countries, yes. I mean, especially emerging market where they can't, that thing is not dependable. In the UK, Western Europe, no, because you know the fiber service is pretty good. And WiMAX probably not going to be that tempting, because if the service is very reliable, they're not going to do it. I think it's only going to be in some emerging countries where they could have a fallback position. The other problem is if you go very high service requirement, like 3 or 4 megabit one-to-one, i.e. no contention, you need a lease line, it starts to become expensive. The secret is in the chipset. So the reason you don't see the mobile device, for example, on WiMAX now, is if we do it on the current technology, you need something like this. It's simply not enough. So on the PC front, when Intel is going to put it in the PC, we expect the PC to stay the same. So you know, it's not going to be much change in terms of power consumption. On the device side, we're going to delay it for at least probably another, from a Motorola perspective, another year, 18 months, until we get Because not only this has to be WiMAX, it has to be WiMAX GSM. So two, three technologies in different frequencies all available at the same time and inside here. So we're going to delay it until the chipset gets to a level of integration where it doesn't use all the power. So we're going to, that's going to wait 18 months. So you're right, it's one of the key things, battery life. And so you either increase the battery life or reduce the amount of power you need. And we're going to opt for reducing the power. What I meant GSM is GPRS. I mean, so GSM and GPRS, part of it, yes, I agree. I'm both in. Because what's expected to happen is if the WiMAX is not available, then you can fall back on GPRS. It's a backup system. You're welcome. especially if they give you what they call an outdoor antenna, because then you can easily get 3 or 4 megabit. I'm surprised you don't have any service provider in your area wireless, you know? There are even some unlicensed providers around. There's one I found out between the border of Wales and England is offering, you know, because that area poorly served. So the operators in the UK are picking small ones, picking up areas where there's no service. Should have a look. These things depends on volume. I mean, they will be around £150, £100. Next year, they will start to go well below. Yeah, they will start to go a lot. I mean, once the volume takes up on these. The good thing about WiMAX is the chipset, it's about 80% of the chipset is the same as Wi-Fi. So the Wi-Fi chipset has gone down to $5. So we expect WiMAX to start to, within about a year or two, once the volume takes up. The Taiwanese government setting up, you know, most of the Wi-Fi chipset come from Taiwan, no surprise. So they're moving into WiMAX. They're setting up a center of excellence in Taiwan just for the WiMAX chipset. So I expect them to come down fairly quickly within the next 18 months. There is, but it's a shared one. We're trying to make it shared, so there is no, like in 3G, it was Qualcomm, which is getting a lot of the IPR. And WiMAX is going to be more shared IPR. So there is no single vendor or company that have a hold on the IPR. No, you won't get the same problem we're getting with 3G at the moment. It's a big one.